Welcome again to Steadfast Hope, and I'm Steve Lawson, and this is still Kent Steinbeck, and we're coming to you from Herb's House Coffee Shop. We love being here, doing ministry here, and our study today is in John 18, and Kent, it's in verses 5 through 8. We normally just have one verse, but there's something that's repeated in these verses that I want to capture our attention. The title of this is The Powerful Christ. The powerful Christ. And we've been looking at these I am statements in John's gospel the last several episodes. And they reappear here in a little bit of a disguised or veiled way. But Jesus is in the garden. And Judas brings the soldiers to come arrest Jesus. And Jesus takes the initiative in verse 4 and says, "Whom do you seek?" As Judas shows up in the middle of the night with these various bands of Roman soldiers, this cohort of Roman soldiers, they said, "Whom do you seek?" And they answered, verse 5, "Jesus the Nazarene." He, Jesus, said to them, "I am." Now, in the New American Standard that I read from, it says, "I am he." He is in italics to indicate it's not in the original. All Jesus actually said was, "Ego eimi, I am." And this is a repetition of what he has said earlier. "I am the bread of life. I am the light of the world. I am the door of the sheep," etc. And so, verse 6, when he said to them, "I am," they drew back and fell to the ground, Kent. Are you believing this? These 600 soldiers, plus the officers from the chief priests, plus the Pharisees, plus Judas, they've all come out with lanterns and torches and weapons, and they all fall back to the ground just for Jesus to say, "I am." You talk about how powerful Christ is for him just to say his name, and they fall back, his divine name. So in verse 7, he asked him again, "Whom do you seek?" I mean, if I was them, I would have not opened my mouth again after they've just been knocked back. And they said, "Jesus the Nazarene." Jesus answered, "I told you that I am." Wow. You talk about a display of omnipotence. For Jesus merely to speak his name, the divine name, "I am who I am." And those who have come to arrest him are knocked backwards to the ground. I mean, who's in charge here as they come to arrest Jesus? It's not these soldiers, 600 soldiers. It's the Lord Jesus. He knows this is the eternal plan and purpose of God, that he was the Lamb of God slain from before the foundation of the world, that he came into this world to die this death. This is a part of the plan. And he knows that this arrest is what the Father has orchestrated. And so he gives himself to these soldiers. He could have called on legions of angels to come to his aid. He doesn't even need the angels. He could have just said his name one more time and buried them in the ground, never to arise again. He could have knocked them dead. And they could have sent all of the Roman soldiers of all the Roman Empire to arrest him. And for him to simply say, "I am," they would have all been laid in the grave. So ultimately, Jesus, as he is yielding to the will of the Father, is in charge here, and ultimately it is the sovereignty of his Father. It was the divine design that Jesus was born to die, and this is the moment. This is the time. This is, the next day is Passover, and he is to be the Passover sacrifice to be offered upon the altar of the cross to die for our sins. The powerful Christ, and not only does he have power to overwhelm these Roman soldiers, he has power to forgive our sins. He has power to reconcile us to the Father through his death upon the cross. So, Kent, we need to talk about this.
Steve, I was just thinking about when you said that, Acts chapter 9.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, and, that's good. Good cross
reference. Verse 4,
yeah.
He fell to the ground.
Yeah.
But there's a difference. Talk about who that was and the difference between his response and their response.
Yeah. The difference between heaven and hell.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a world of difference. Yeah, you're referring to the conversion of Saul of Tarsus on the road to Damascus. And Jesus appears there and knocks Paul, really Saul at that point, to the ground. Right.
I mean,
took him down.
And there's no pushing or physical anything.
Yeah,
it's just the power.
Just the power of Christ appearing and in his glory.
Yeah.
And just knocking Peter to the ground. And Peter is like, Lord, what would you have me to do? Yeah, yeah, it's all over. Yeah, Saul, why are you persecuting me? And Saul is dramatically, radically, immediately converted to the Lord Jesus Christ in that moment. And so, Kent, this tells us, and certainly by contrast with the Roman soldiers who, like, fall back and continued unbelief, and certainly Judas in unbelief and the Pharisees in unbelief as they come out, this tells us that Christ has the power to convert even the chief of sinners, that no one is beyond the saving power of the Lord Jesus Christ. And he can take down anyone in a split second when it is their appointed time to be converted, when the Father suddenly works by his Spirit and regenerates that spiritually dead heart. No one is beyond the strong arm of the Lord to reach out and to save them and to convert them. And at the same time, Christ has the power also to bring down those who are sinners, as he does here in John 18, and to humble them in a moment. And it reminds us, Kent, that every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. That at the end of time, Christ will even every unbeliever will be knocked to the ground and they will bow the knee. Not in saving faith, but they will profess that Christ is Lord and then be cast down into hell to suffer the torment of the damned forever and ever. But Christ is the powerful Christ. So I'm so glad for you to bring up Saul of Tarsus.
Well, I was also thinking here, all these men, it says they drew back and fell to the ground, as you mentioned.
Mm-hmm.
Does this not also speak to the hardness of the heart against what Christ is saying? Because it doesn't say, again, like Saul, they responded.
Mm-hmm.
So they were with Jesus, right there with him.
Yeah.
And there had to be some sense of his power.
Oh, yeah.
And they ignored it. Like,
are you talking about the soldiers?
These soldiers, yeah. Do you think every one of them ignored it? You think perhaps some would have been saved? How did this play out? How does this, if you could just make a quick analogy of our lives, being around the truth and the power of the Word of God and ignoring it as opposed to.
No, I see where you're headed. I mean, that's a great point.
Trust in it.
You're making, Kent. And the point you're making is, how could these Roman soldiers, in the presence of this Christ and this display of power, how could they have not just immediately surrendered their lives to the Lord Jesus Christ?
Tell me more.
And it just speaks to how hardened their hearts were in this world and in sin and in unbelief, that even this didn't jolt them.
Yeah.
And shake them into a state of believing in that he is I am. And so as it relates to us and those who are around us and even some who come to church, how can they sit under the preaching of the Word of God and the display of God's power and remain hardened in their sin? And I think what it speaks to is really how deeply embedded sin is in an unbeliever. How blind, how hardened, how deaf, how dead sinners are in their sin, that even something like this wouldn't just shock them into a state of believing, that they would continue to persist in their ways. And there may, who knows, there may have been a, you know, a handful of Roman soldiers eventually come to Christ. We do know the centurion, the Roman centurion, would finally say at the foot of the cross, "Surely this is the Son of God." So we do understand that there would be some Roman soldiers who would come to faith in Christ. Whether it's out of this cohort of 600 Roman soldiers, we don't know, this battalion, but it does speak to how deeply rooted the effects of original sin and total depravity is in the human heart. Well, I don't know where you are spiritually, but it could be you're like one of these Roman soldiers, that you've not yet come to faith in Christ, and yet you see the power of God on display in the lives of other Christians, and you see the power of God on display even in history and providence, and you read about it in the Bible. I mean, what would it take to bring you to the place of saving faith in Christ? Our prayer for you is that you would come bow the knee to the Lord Jesus Christ and surrender your life to Him this very moment and call upon His name and commit your life to Him who is the Son of God, the Son of Man, the Savior of the world. God bless you. May you make that commitment to Christ even this moment today. Thank you for joining us.